The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. So the question, I think, that is fundamental to all of our lives is, what must I do to receive eternal life? Eternal life. So what does that mean to you? What is eternal life? I think if we were to ask everybody in the church what that was, we'd get some similar answers, but probably many, many different things. And I think we fall into the trap of understanding eternal life as a thing that we get, a thing that somehow we might earn. You know, one of the problems we have in dialogue with non-Catholic Christians is this whole idea about, in the Catholic Church, we have this word merit all the time that turns up in all the prayers of the Mass, that we somehow can earn eternal life. And that was a major problem with Martin Luther, and rightly so. You can't buy your way into heaven. You have to acknowledge the fact that eternal life is something that is freely given, a gift from God, not something that we can ever work our way into or try to somehow earn. There is nothing I can do to eternal life. So the question that the young man asks, it shows a fundamental misunderstanding about somehow what he has to do in this life to get what he wants. And I think this is where we find Jesus' discussion today about wealth, because that is the mindset of people who want to be rich. What must I do to be rich? And they can conflate that with the same question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There is nothing I can do. It's a pure gift. In fact, in order to receive that gift, it requires a certain kind of humility, a kind of humility that wealthy people often do not have, simply because they've lived their lives for a purpose in order to be wealthy, to find themselves in a situation of comfort and security. We ask that question every time we do marriage preparation. You know, we do this focus survey, FOCCUS survey, where we ask a number of different questions, and the bride and the groom will respond yes or no, agree, disagree, or uncertain. And one of the questions is, I am okay with having to ask our parents for financial assistance. And it always strikes me kind of interesting. Nobody ever says yes. And I think that's probably a good thing because we're supposed to be self-sufficient, right? We're conditioned to be independent individuals that are going to make our own way in this world. But at some point, if you are really in need, you have to be willing to ask. That's the kind of humility, isn't it? That I think even when we think about eternal life, there's something in us that must say, well, it's not something that we're going to slog our way through this life in order to get to heaven. It's something that we're ultimately going to have to ask God for, because God is the one who gives it freely. So it's really not a question about a what. If it's a person who gives this eternal life to us, it's not what we're after, it's who we're after. Who must we know to inherit eternal life? This one who gives eternal life so freely. So isn't then ultimately eternal life, it's got to be a relationship. It's not a sufficiency of kind of being wealthy. It's not a matter of relating to things as an independent person. It's a spiritual life. And that spiritual life necessarily requires involvement with God, a spiritual being who seeks to have a relationship with you. In my dialogue with the Methodists, I learned a few very interesting things. And one of those is that the most popular question that John Wesley would often ask his people, he would say, "How is it with your soul?" It's a question that cuts right to the heart, isn't it? How is it with your soul? I think it reveals this same very question. What is most important to you? What is the relationship you seek? Is it a thing like eternal life, or is it a person who gives eternal life, God? It's John Wesley's understanding of holiness. The state of your soul has to do with the desire that you have. Where is your heart? Is it with your things, which you could probably just lump eternal life into with all the other stuff you have or want? Or is it with the person who grants it? So there's the story of this young man in the gospel today. And there are a lot of people who write about this gospel. But a lot of people who study scripture would say that this young man is Mark himself. This is the gospel of Mark. And he actually includes several stories that are unique only to his gospel, that probably only he would have been able to write about. They're insignificant as you look at them in the big picture. They're relatively insignificant factors or events or happenings, but the reality is that they're there. And so many scripture scholars would say that this young man was Mark himself. And so he asks Jesus, "What must I do?" And Jesus offers to him, first of all, the lowest common denominator, right? The easiest, simplest. He just starts to say with the sacraments. The sacraments are kind of a low bar, really. I mean, well, for most people, they just try to get through life, and if we can just keep with the sacraments, we're good, right? But there's something more that Jesus asks of this young man. Because he says that, you know, he names the commandments, and then the young man says, "But I do all that already. I've been doing that since my youth." This young man was a good boy all his life. And then Jesus says, "Well, then, if you really want to know, you have to kind of give up what you have and follow me." And it says in the gospel that he went away sad. Jesus basically asks him the question, "How is it with your soul?" The good news about this gospel today is that it never says the young man doesn't come back. He's grappling with this reality. And so are the apostles, by the way. When St. Peter says, "Then who can be saved," right? Because everybody wants to be rich, right? Isn't being wealthy one of those things we're supposed to try to accomplish or achieve? So unique for the Gospel of Mark, it says Jesus looks at him and loves him. Only Mark would have known that. Jesus looks at him and loves him and then reaches out to him. In the Gospel of Mark, there are a couple of other stories. Many people would say that he's the young man who, at the arrest of Jesus, when they try to grab the young man, they rip off his tunic and he runs off into the dark. That would be him. Many people would say also that he was the son of the family that provided the upper room for the Last Supper for Pentecost. There were people that were known to Jesus, clearly known to Jesus. So it is in this gospel today that we're able to see that Jesus is actually looking for his soul. He recognizes that the young man still has that sort of worldly impression that somehow eternal life is something that he has to earn or achieve or merit. And it's nothing like that at all. It's something that he simply has to ask God to grant him. But it is in that humility and in that recognition that he is powerless to do it for himself, that he will recognize that all of the things that he holds so dear to himself might not be so dear after all, in comparison at least to the relationship which God is offering to him, that relationship in eternity.